Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
Has it been another week?
It's been a hot week, I'll tell you that. Very hot here in New York City.
We went over to David Cho's place. He had the air conditioning running.
Thank God that David Cho is back in town so we can use his air conditioning.
Well, we have air conditioning, too.
We do, but it was extra cold. It's the coldest at David Cho's house.
Yeah, he does not give a fuck about the environment.
Not at all. Shouts to David Cho. This week was really busy for us. First of all, I want to say that people should check out the newest video episode of this year's podcast on Full Screen featuring Dave East.
I cannot wait for people to listen to it, to view it. That's a really great episode.
Great dude. His management, Wayno, is a great guy. They have a great operation. A lot of exciting things happened just on the XXL freshman cover.
I think one of my favorite moments was going through every single person in the Dipset universe.
A good listen, a good view. Check that out with Dave East. So this week, we had a bunch of events. We were running around in this heat. One of the nights, we went to the Bronx. There were two events going on in the Bronx. One was Swiss Beats through a party and art.
Yeah, you set up an art gallery in the Bronx.
Like, right off the Bruckner Expressway. And who performed that night?
Well, A$AP Rocky and A$AP Ferg came through. They were supposed to be there together, but Ferg came late.
Okay. But anyway, a cool thing.
There was a Ferris wheel. We didn't get to go on the Ferris wheel.
But we got there before the rain hit. And then after that, well, we went to the premiere party for, what is it? It's The Get Down?
Yeah, Netflix.
On Netflix.
But it should be said, like, I thought we were going home.
Right. But we did not.
We did not go home.
We went to the Bronx. Further into the Bronx. This was, like, deep in the Bronx in a, maybe it was a former parking garage or some sort of warehouse that was.
Yeah, they set it up like it was 1983. There were, like, breakdancing. Mm-hmm.
The black and white checkered floors, people in costume.
Yeah, I would say when we showed up, because we showed up early.
Yeah.
There were probably, it was 90% people who were paid to be there.
Yeah, you had the old women with the cart with the shaved ice.
Right, you had piraguas.
You had people there in Afro wigs and bell bottoms.
Yeah, they were, everybody was costumed except for us. Everybody was looking like it was 1977 and they were ready for like a knife fight on the checkered dance floor.
And we showed up.
And we showed up.
We did not fit in. No. But it was cool. It was cool to see Cool Herc walk by, and it was cool to see Grandmaster Flash walk by. Fun party. Jaden Smith was there because he's in the show.
Right.
But here's my thing. That party was enough for me to come home and say, let's give this a shot on Netflix. Let's watch this first episode. Now, I'm not a Baz Luhrmann fan. I'm not like an old school hip hop guy myself. But I was like, let me give this a shot here. I saw some headlines on The Ringer or New York Times or different sites that led me to believe that maybe this would be worth watching, and this party tipped the scale.
We made it 20 minutes.
20 minutes. What, Jeff, if you were to write a review, if you had a headline for this 20 minutes that you viewed, what would it be?
Ugh.
Get it off my TV.
Yeah, basically. Like, it was just, it was a struggle to get through.
Get the volume down.
Yeah, I was not into it.
So, you know, after tearing through a bunch of programs, like,
I watched Stranger Things.
Yeah, we watched the entire 6 seasons of
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
You didn't fuck with Stranger Things.
I did not fuck with Stranger Things. I need something new to watch. We've been watching The Night Of. But my problem with that is that I can't binge it. I have to wait every Sunday night until we can watch it.
Yo, our group chat trying to figure out who the killer is,
I need,
is so good.
A new show to watch. So people, please hit us up. Let us know what we should be watching on television, what we're missing out on. I do want to say also this week, it was really nice. 2 Chainz team reached out to us and gave us a heads up, gave us the first listen to his new mixtape called Daniel Sun Necklace Don.
That was this week?
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Shout out to them. It's a great mixtape. It's what we've been listening to all week.
That feels like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but whatever. I've been listening to it for 2 weeks. Shout out to them. Also, Jeff, last week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real featured Dreezy, the Chicago rapper signed to Interscope, and at the end of it,
she didn't know that our thing was called A Waste of Time.
She didn't know. She had no idea when we said that her mom should be on A Waste of Time with It's the Real, and she said,
what's that?
That's the show.
Oh. Yeah. I'm like, a waste of time.
And so we sampled that, and every time in our outro, that we referenced.
A waste of time.
You hear her say.
A waste of time.
And so people like that so much that I thought if there's anyone else there who doesn't know the name of this podcast, they will after this.
A waste of time. 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 What's that?
That's the show.
What's that?
That's the show.
What's that?
That's the show.
A waste of time. What's that?
That's the show.
What's that?
That's the show.
What's that?
That's the show.
A waste of time. A waste of time.
I've had this title for like a million years.
A waste of time.
I've had this title for like a million years.
A waste of time.
At fullscreen.com/itsthereal.
Sign up. A waste of time. Sign up. A waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time. You already know. A waste of time.
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com/itsthereal.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
What's that?
Fullscreen.com.
You already know.
Fullscreen.com/itsthereal.
What's that? What's that? What's that? I love Atlanta. A waste of time. Sign up. A waste of time. Sign up. A waste of time. Sign up. A waste of time. 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 A waste of time.
A waste of time with It's the Real.
What's that?
That's the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, a waste of time.
Yeah. On today's episode of
A Waste of Time
with It's the Real, we have
Ty Dolla Sign.
Ty Dolla Sign.
Ty and the Dolla Signs.
We go through a lot in this podcast. It's great to have the guy here and talk about so many subjects. And it's also great when he gets up and leaves to use, as he calls it,
the piss cup.
The piss cup in the middle of this episode. Listen for that towards the end. It's pretty funny. Shout out to Ty Dolla Sign. He has a new project called Campaign, a new song with Future. A lot of people on this upcoming EP, including Meek Mill, who he says is back. Shout out to Ty Dolla Sign. Shout out to everyone at Atlantic Records. Shout out to Jason for bringing him by. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Got the Pound Tuck, a.k.a. Weight Watchers.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Gimme Little Head, a.k.a. Zika Virus.
It's the Dolla Sign. I give you that long stroke. Hello.
Yeah, it's the way you tell me it's the real. Ty, what's happening?
What's up, y'all?
Everything's good. Welcome to New York.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm
of
happy
course.
To be here. Hot as fuck outside.
Yeah. Well, but how could you say that as someone who's like a California native?
Because it's hotter here than in California.
Before we get into the actual podcast, we do want to say that this is being videotaped for fullscreen.com. If you are just listening to this, you're missing out. You won't see Ty's hat. You won't see us in our apartments.
But also, like, you know,
loser.
You get to see us a week early if you sign up for fullscreen.com/itsthereal.
Yeah, you get a free month.
Free month.
You get to see episodes with Charlamagne the God and Angie Martinez and Miss Info and DJ Drama.
Tunji Ige, Michael Christmas, everybody.
A lot of people. Yeah. So go check that out. Joey Fats was
on. And if you go to TyDollarSign.com, then you get to see all of my exclusives and get it first and you're a boss.
Oh, shit.
Hello.
Oh, shit. Did you ever think that at this like point in your life you would meet and work with Paul McCartney?
Oh, man. The Dolla Sign is a legend, man, and it feels good to work with legends.
You met Tupac, right?
Yeah, I met him on some random shit when my pops took me to it was like where Digital Underground was staying at the Oakwoods right off of Barham. And we went over there in the morning. I don't know what my pops and them had going on, but maybe it was to get some weed. Who knows? Pops always be like, I wasn't smoking weed. Yeah, I know you didn't smoke weed. I remember the smell, nigga. Anyway, when they came out, they had like a vinyl of Kiss You Back. And I got Shock G. I got, what's the other guy? The short one, Money something. I forgot his name. Money D, maybe. And Tupac. And he came out in his drawers. Signed the shit, and I thought I was the shit.
I mean, you were, and do you still have that?
I still have it, but like, I don't know exactly where it is, and I feel like a dickhead because I've moved so many times.
Oh, for real?
You know, but shit, I still have this one garage where like a gang of my vinyl is, and then I have a gang right now at my new house in the garage because I haven't had a chance to put it in. But my good friend Glenn is
gonna go through it,
arrange that, and alphabetically organize everything.
Oh my god, alphabetical.
Yeah, it's got to be right, man. You got to know where everything is at.
Well, at least you're not doing it color coordinated. You're like, it's in the blue section.
Yeah, but the problem with doing it alphabetical is that you add one record and it fucks up the whole thing.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
So like, you just have a million records. You have a record player at home, right?
Yeah, I got the full setup, the Technic 1200s.
Yeah.
The full shit.
Well, was there ever a thought that you would DJ?
No, I began like in high school DJing like parties and. Like when I would charge motherfuckers $600, $700 to just come DJ with one turntable, and then and like my other one was fucked up, and then I would literally like stop the song, talk shit, put on another record while I'm talking shit, and then keep the shit going, and it was lit the whole time. And shout out to everybody that paid me, and like everybody else thought I was crazy because most DJs was getting like $100, $200, $300. I was like, fuck that, I need $1,000. Yeah. You feel me?
Were these like Hollywood parties?
Just hood like, parties.
$600, $700 a pop.
Yeah, man, come on now.
Robbery.
I know.
And this is before I was the dollar sign.
Yeah, well now, tired. Now you got to get on your T-bone like daddy cat shit and like fucking like make some real money.
Yeah.
For sure, man.
And now all you have to bring is your computer. You don't need to bring it. Or, unless Glenn wants to carry all the, you know, all the records.
Yeah, nah, Glenn's cool. I'm not going to do him like that.
So
nowadays, people, it's starting, well, I've been around a lot of EDM dudes, right? But, mm-hmm. like, it's corny to bring your laptop, I'm hearing.
Oh, it's back to vinyl now?
Nah, like, you're just supposed to bring the little USB stick and pop it right in and just know your shit. And like, if you bring your laptop and you can see all that, then you're cheating, basically.
Wow.
See, like, I feel like you should just bring an assistant and just tell them, like, you do it.
Nah, because then they won't respect you, then you're not DJing, you know?
Nah, you're a boss.
That's right. So,
I feel that.
did you ever press up any of your own stuff on vinyl, like, back then, and then play it at a party?
Nah, I didn't back then, but I pressed up this one... this one single back in the day under the name Jack Sample Pros, and it was just like a underground type. I was a big fan, and you already know I was on all their albums as well, of Psy Rock Creative Partners.
Yep, yep, yep.
And I did my own instrumental, and I called it Jack Sample Pros, and the song is called Prescription, and that went pretty well. And recently I put out the Free TC album on vinyl, and it's in all the Urban Outfitters, so you know,
so and,
get a
but,
bar.
But it still matters to you to have like physical copies of your album. It's not in this digital world, right?
Yeah, because there's some people that are like me that appreciate it and want to have, you know, their alphabetically ordered fucking collection of records. So
and also you're from a car city, so like, you know, you want to have something to pop into your system, right?
Nah, I don't want nothing in my car now. I want my car to stay. I got, you know, I don't need none of that extra shit in my car. It can all come from the phone. Bluetooth.
Growing up, what kind of music were you listening to?
Growing up, I was listening to a lot of rap, hip-hop, R&B, old school.
Right.
Hardcore.
Just a bunch of genres.
94.7 The Wave, smooth jazz. Just a bunch of stuff because, you know, my grandfather listened to his music and I used to be with him. My mom used to, you know, do the R&B, Paula Abdul, all that.
Yeah.
Pops used to be more, you know, old school vibes, Earth, Wind & Fire, all that stuff.
He was a funk musician.
Yeah.
He was a funk musician.
Yeah, he was in that group Lakeside. But me, like, I was more like Ice Cube, you know, Dr. Dre.
Well,
I wasn't supposed to be, but that's what I was on.
We're all a similar age, and we like we respect and love like the Isley Brothers, and obviously like that's some music that you were listening to back then, right?
Yeah.
But like Ron Isley to us is more like Mr. Biggs, you know? Right? Yeah. Like whenever like Down Low or Contagious like would come on MTV, like that was a moment.
That was,
you know,
our shit.
That for was sure. our shit.
Yeah.
We used to do we used to do interviews for MTV, these like short form like red carpet type interviews.
Sick.
And we interviewed everyone from like Stevie Wonder to Rick Ross to whoever.
From Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I met Stevie Wonder the other day at the Billboard Awards. He's and the greatest. I fanned out like crazy. That's the first time I've ever done that, but I screamed. Like, Stevie! Oh, shit!
I mean, you gotta get his attention. Like,
yo, yeah. That was Stevie Wonder, yo. The greatest of all time.
Was he everything you thought he would be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
He has a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he's cool. Super cool. Then he got up on the stage and ripped. And I got to see it right there in person.
Amazing.
What did you play?
I don't remember. I think it was like a Prince dedication or something.
That's dope.
Yeah, I actually saw Prince as well before he passed right here at the...
at our apartment.
Nah, it was at the Saturday Night Live after party.
Oh, yeah.
Because like Kanye performed and I was singing with Kanye that day. And I saw Prince get up on stage and perform with Taylor Swift.
Man. She yeah. must not be named, you know.
Yeah. I will never forgive her.
No.
For the 2009 incident.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing will make it better.
No. Right.
Yeah, we're Team Kanye. Right. So you met Prince. Did you talk to him at the time?
I didn't. He was just on. Well, actually, he came up because I was standing next to Jay-Z and them, and he said, "What's up?" And then next thing you know, he was on stage. So I definitely got to say, "What's up?" And that was about it. I've seen him at a couple other parties in like LA. Just they're like, "Yo, Prince is here." He looked back and like, Prince is really there with like some young hot chicks.
Yeah. I went to the Grammys with Kanye back in 2005.
Yeah.
And we went to Clive Davis's party, which like, that was the first time that I ever went there, and it seemed like one of those weird dreams like mm-hmm. you have where like every celebrity's in it and they all know each other. It's like Chad from the Neptunes is talking to, you know, Tracy Morgan and
Larry
yeah.
King.
Yeah, Larry King was there. It was very strange. But someone did bump into me and I turned around and I swear I looked down and Prince was there. And I was just like, holy shit, like you're short. And then he yeah. really like he disappeared. Vanished, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was exactly like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, man. The legend Prince, rest in peace.
Yeah. So you met the legend Prince, you met the legend Stevie Wonder.
Who else is there to meet?
John Mayer.
Okay.
Michelle and Indigiachello.
Yep.
Who else do I really, really want to meet? It's this new legend named Jacob Collier. He's from London. He's like 21 and he signed to Quincy Jones and he is the shit. You heard it from the dollar sign first.
Well, what does he play?
Every instrument and does like mad harmonies and like he's just like the dopest like when it comes to like his mind and like thinking of chord changes and thinking of like just of being the illest musician out.
You obviously play a whole bunch of instruments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you play what? You play
I play bass,
right?
Play regular guitar, acoustic keys. Guitar, keys.
So you play so many instruments. Does it make you want to? Is there a different level to working with someone who speaks the same language as you do? Like, you know, someone who can, you know, there are artists, and then there are just like rappers and singers and people who obviously there's levels to this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
How is that like? The difference between working with Kanye and somebody who doesn't like really
like know that side of like stuff. That.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. You'd be surprised because like for me, like just knowing so much about music and then you may even get like with another person that knows a lot about music and you guys will make something like hella trippy. Like say if me and Thundercat get together and just make something hella trippy and yeah. then like motherfuckers might overlook it. Right, but then I'll get with like a person that just started rapping or just started doing beats. Let's say Mustard, mm-hmm. like he just started doing beats probably 2-3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And like he made my first two hits right. that sold over 1 million copies. So, you know, it's you never know.
And you and Mustard have a shorthand being so close, right?
Yeah.
So do you know what each other is looking for or do you like to experiment and just see like where the session takes you guys?
Just experiment, but like Mustard, the difference between him and a lot of people is like he DJs, so he knows like, yo, this is what the people want to hear.
Right.
And Ty, you're tripping. Do this. And shit, it works every single time. Save just went gold as well.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Thank you. Wavy's next.
You know, no big deal.
Shout out to Mustard.
So it's not boring at this point, just being very successful?
It's crazy, man. I'm thankful, and it trips me out every time to see shit like this happen.
So when you were growing up, were you in, like, garage bands? Did you have, like, groups with your friends, like, early?
Yeah. We always made, like, a new group from, like, elementary all the way up to high school until shit now.
Was there...
Fucking me and Anderson Pack, like, yo, we should do a band.
Is that going to happen?
Should do
I don't know. But, like, you know, he plays drums, I play bass. All we need is a guitar player and we lit.
John Mayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yo, hit him up.
Yeah. So,
wait, first of all, what were the names of these bands?
I don't remember. So many different ones.
They just didn't last very long?
It didn't last very
long. Eric was in a band called Catharsis.
Well, no. It was that we didn't have a name, and I think one night, you know, one of the guys in the band was like, we should name it Catharsis. Like, sure. No one else came up with an idea. Let's just go with that. So, yeah. Catharsis.
I think ours is called Raid to fight all those Beatles I was working with.
Yeah. So, did you guys gig anywhere? Like, did you play out?
I didn't really play out like that. I had, like, a school... I did, like, you know, school tour thing, like, in the beginning with my little homies. And
Were you in concert band or marching band also?
Nah, I could never, like, really get into it. I was in electronic music class.
Yeah?
Where, like, they tried to teach me, what was that, Cubase?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cubase?
Yep. Yeah.
And Cubase was just so corny to me. I was like, my dad and them had ADATs and fucking all that shit. And he taught me how to work those, and I thought I was cool for knowing how to work that shit. But then right after that, fucking Pro Tools came in and wiped everybody out.
Well, so would you like to work acoustically or analog now?
No. Because it's just like a waste of time. But I learned Pro Tools, and now I'm like a master at that. I record everything myself.
Out of your home?
Yeah, like just on my laptop. I could do it right here, right now.
Yeah.
I have my Duet actually on me. I'll pull that out, pull the laptop out. I have my mic, one of those little T103 Neumanns, and we can get busy.
And where's the craziest place you've recorded a song?
In a trailer in the back of the, I think it was like one of the MTV Awards. Fucking J-Rock was on my head about a verse. He was like, yo, send me the verse. And then, like, I just hadn't had time because it was just so much shit going on. And then I did the verse right there in the trailer. Fucking people coming in and shit, leaving out. Fucking turned it in. And I don't even know if he actually dropped that one. Another crazy one is this song Campaign, the most recent one I released with Future.
Right.
We did that shit on the back of my tour bus on this last Purple Rain tour. With like 50 people in the hallway. No fucking, none of the proper shit. Just like right there.
Does that fuck up the sound?
It doesn't matter. The shit's a smash. And people love it. Like, so it's all good. Like, I think shit is changing. Like, you don't have to be so fucking by the book more.
And that's like when you went down to Mexico and you worked with Kanye and you said that, you know, you were expecting there to be some sort of booth, but the door was open to like the outside, right?
Yeah, shit's
like,
crazy.
Life is a booth, you know?
Ah. Very deep.
Think about it.
Very
deep.
I saw Alicia Keys a long time ago. I don't remember what it was on, but she was in Jamaica, and there was some studio that they had outside with the mic right there by the ocean. They just did like a whole little album out there and shit. After I saw that, I'm like, fuck it. We could record wherever.
I just love, we had Lenny S. up here, and we were talking about the recording process of, like, taking over two floors at
the Mercer.
Right. How they created, like, the Watch the Throne album, just, like, you know.
That's tight.
Just there, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can do now as opposed to, like, Cubase or as opposed to, like, what your dad did. Now, your dad would be in on the sessions for Death Row.
Yeah, that too. And at the Death Row time, if I remember right, they were on Tape Machine.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe a little bit of the DA88 ADAT scene, but mostly Tape Machine shit. And I remember just being a kid going in there. I seen Daz Dillinger do that one beat for Let Me Ride, the remix on Death Row's Greatest Hits. And it was just hella weed smoke, and fucking MC Hammer pulled up with the old ass Benz, looking tight as fuck.
What color was it?
I think it was like...
Was it red? Like I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, no, blue.
I can't quote it.
Did
this shit was lit though.
Yeah. Well, what kind of hours would you like your dad like be called into the studio at?
Man, Pops was always gone into some studio or on some stage, and he'll come in whatever time. But shit, you know.
I just like the idea that, like, you know, because people now like look at it as sort of like a business. It's like, well, I got to go home and eat at some point. Like, right. I'll just record during the day. It'll be my 9 to 5. Like, mm-hmm. whereas other people do, you know, do yeah, the overnight like, session because it's a vibe.
Right. Like, Bun B has, like, he does daytime hours.
That's
Nicki
right.
Nicki Minaj does daytime. Morning.
Yeah. Mm. Are you a particular type of day guy?
It just depends who I'm working with. Like, yeah, I could be an asshole and be like, oh, yeah, I got to work on my time. But I like different vibes, you know?
Actually, and you're your own engineer.
Yeah, me, if it's up to me, I'm going to fucking wake up and just hop on my shit right there at the house or wherever I'm at. And I love working in the mornings. Some people, like when you try to get everybody together, it's usually going to be in the evenings because everybody's got to do what they got to do in the morning. And that's cool too. On this new project campaign, I was like done in the studio. And my homie Jahan Sweet, he's another producer. He does a lot of Kehlani stuff. Mm. I went into his room. This is like 3-4 in the morning. And he played me these two beats. And one of them ended up being the song called Dollar. The other one ended up being Zaddy. And those are on the new project campaign. So this is like 4 a.m. where I just spazzed freestyle right off the top of the head and did two full songs. So it's all different, you know? It just depends.
Who's somebody that you've been at the studio and like you've run into them randomly? Like just being like that they were in another room.
Yeah. Fucking Wiz. The first time I ever ran into him, I was in the way back room at the studio called The Record Plant.
Mm-hmm.
In L.A.
Yep, in L.A. My homie Terrace Martin, who I was trying to track down for years, like on MySpace, like, but he never got back at me, just straight Hollywooded me for years. Like, I'm like, dog, I'm trying
Has
to do something.
Has he still
something.
Not responded?
No, he's cool now,
yeah,
of course.
But, yeah, but MySpace is done.
But I finally met him in the hallway, and he was like, yeah, I'm in the other room, Wiz, let me introduce y'all. And then he introduced us, and then this is back in like 08, 09 when he had that fucking And Say Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't even really keep in touch, but Twitter came out and like we found each other on Twitter, and then that's how we got linked up again. So, shit, yeah, that was hella random.
In LA, like you were down with like YG,
Mustard, obviously. Muggy,
yeah, Mustard, Iggy. Who was Drugs producing for first?
Drugs is me, my homie Chords, Nate, Buddha, James Koo. It's a couple of us, it's a lot of us. And, first, we were just doing my shit, and then a lot of people's shit, just whatever. Like, everybody was doing beats, but then once we, you know, became a collective, we were working on my shit, and then Chords and them found Iggy, and they were doing her shit, and they did that Ignorant Art project.
Yo, you guys made the one Iggy song I like.
Which one, Pussy?
Pussy. Her first song.
Thanks.
Her first song was the one I liked.
And, you know, that shit took off. Iggy took off. Congrats to her. Mm-hmm. And the whole team, we're all doing our shit.
Growing up and being in these bands and DJing, and obviously, like, you saw a musical path for yourself, but did you see that path being easy, or did you think that it was going to be a tough road?
I thought it was going to be tough because I've been making beats probably since I was, like, 13, 14. But it's just crazy because it happens different for everybody.
Right.
Mustard fucking got on in 1 year of learning how to make beats and became the biggest producer in the game, period, for like 2 years straight.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all good. Like,
but
I'm just happy to be making money and to be doing this interview and like have people that are actually listening to my shit and care about my shit.
For sure.
Yeah.
How did people find you then? Like, what was the method of sort of getting people's attention?
Like, how I figured it out was, like, when I met YG. And it's basically just, like, leaving the studio and going to, like, parties and, like, meeting DJs and telling them to play your shit and, like, performing the shit for the people, you know? And then eventually people love that shit, and then somebody invites you and has some money for you. And then, you know, then it goes even bigger than that. So that's the game, man. Just like,
so were you playing around LA?
Yeah, it started from literally throwing house parties to then throwing fucking going to like the motorcycle clubs and like performing there and then going to like
Wait, can you just talk about the motorcycle clubs?
Motorcycle clubs. So like you already know we went to the black motorcycle clubs and shit and we would just basically give them some bread to take their spot. And we'll invite all our homies out and fill that bitch up, and it'll eventually get shut down by the police because we would fill that bitch up, and then the street outside would be filled up, and then, you know.
Did you ever get matching jackets from the motorcycle club?
Nah, we wasn't with the motorcycle club. We was pushing the label.
Not too late.
Right. And then from there.
That'd be dope if you did go back there and, like, had a party now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the motorcycle club.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
And then it went to downtown, like just renting out some little warehouse, packed that bitch out. Fucking, we did Toot It and Boot It for the first time. And like, it wasn't even on the internet yet. But by the second time we did the hook, the whole place was singing it. So that's how we knew we had a hit.
Crazy.
Fucking, we called my homeboy, James Earl, who's like an actor right now. You can look him up. And like, I forgot the show that he was on, but like, he does a whole bunch of movies and like, he's done some TV shows or whatever, and fucking he had all the equipment. We went to fucking Doc Wilder Beats and shot the first Tooted and Booted, like hella cheap and hella bogus. Our outfits look crazy. And fucking, we just had a gang of females and a gang of homies come out there. Next thing you know, a month later, it's over 1 million views, and all the record companies are like offering to sign YG. And then we met Brandon Moore. And he was like a Hollywood club promoter. He was like, yo, we want y'all to come perform at some club. And then this dude, Max Goose, came to see us, and he signed YG. And then we started performing in more clubs. And then I was just like tripping out about this shit, like, damn, this shit is crazy. Like, fuck. YG came out the club one day with like 10 bands cash and handed Mustard $400 and handed me $400 for singing. And you're cash. I'm like, blood, like, I'm about to be an artist. So then I started trying to focus on my artist shit. And after that, my homie Jacaso, who was like helping me produce all this shit, and he was playing keys on a lot of the shit and doing beats as well himself, he had got killed. And then that fucked me up and made me not even want to do music. And I just like stopped for a while and stopped doing beats. And then Mustard was like, yo, give me those sounds. And I gave him the sounds. He took over. YG had that one mixtape that blew up. And then life changed. I put out House on the Hill after that. Started getting hype again and trying to like figure my shit out. Then I had that song All Star, which got the attention. And soon after that, I took a meeting at Def Jam with Karen Kwok. Yeah. She was like the head, and
out here?
Nah, out there in LA. Mm-hmm. And I played her my shit, and she was like, yeah, this is dope. You could do this genre, you could do this genre, you could do this genre. I wonder what it would sound like if you just did like one thing. Like, I want you to come back and play me just like one body of work that's just like one thing. I'm like, okay. So then I made Beach House, and I didn't even call her.
You just took the advice.
I got a publicist, my homegirl Aisha, and I met Sean Barron, who is my A&R now at Atlantic. Mm-hmm. At the time, I also made this other song that I was gonna put on Beach House, but I didn't. It was called Fumble, and I gave it to Trey Songz, and it ended up being one of his singles. So then I had the attention of Atlantic, and they were like, all right, come on, let's do this shit. I'm like, let's do this shit.
So Karen Kwok never called you back? Like at the same time?
She might have, like, oh, but it was cool. I already had Sean Barron. Like, the thing about Sean is he understood me, and he just let me do my music. And like, it wasn't like, oh, you should sound like this, or you should do this, or come back and play me just one thing. It was like, yo, I fuck with your shit. Yo, I believe in it. Let's rock. So fucking, we did it, and now I'm here today with y'all, man. It feels good.
With Fumble, do you wish that, like, do you think that you could have done that song better justice? I mean, obviously it did very well for Trey, but I'm saying, like, is there a part of you that's like, when you write for other people, that you're just like, oh, well, this could have done very well for me.
I mean, it's a good song is a good song. So, you know, if people fuck with it, they'll probably fuck with it if I did it or if they did it. But the one thing about Fumble is that it sounds like a good song to take your shirt off and be a fucking silky ass R&B nigga to, you feel me? And I feel like he could perform that better than me at the time. Because at the time, if you look back, I was like hell of fucking sloppy looking, eating McDonald's and In-N-Out every day and just burritos and just not giving a fuck. And that also changed for me one day when I was playing in D.C. and I brought out Trey Songz, right? I sold out the Fillmore and fucking had that shit rocking the whole night, right? Everybody going crazy. And then, like, two songs before the end, like, before I would do Paranoid, which is, like, at that time, like, the biggest shit in the world.
Yeah.
And I brought out Trey Songz. And when I brought out Trey Songz, man... He must have did this shit like with his shirt and took his shit off a little bit. And they screamed so loud that I couldn't even hear the music anymore. And when I heard that, I'm like, this motherfucker. I'm like, I'm never eating no bullshit again. I started working out and like I wanted to do the same thing one day, you know? So, you know, it was definitely an inspiration and shout out to Trey Songz, man.
So when you write for other people, are they looking for you to write in their voice, or are they bringing you in because they like your voice and they want you to just write that?
This is the trippy thing. Before the Atlantic thing and during the YG, like Tooted and Booted, before the YG Tooted and Booted, after YG Tooted and Booted, okay, I had Tooted and Booted, then I did a publishing deal with EMI. Mm-hmm. And when I did the publishing deal, they would bring me to little summits and writing camps and like, we're trying to write shit for people. I'm just, oh, okay, we're in this artist camp, we're in this artist. So I'm trying to like figure out, oh, what would this artist say? Oh, you know, just fucking working my brain as hard as I fucking can, trying to figure out like, oh, what would be the dopest song? I never placed one fucking song that way.
Wow.
But once I just started doing my own shit, not giving a fuck about none of that shit, that's when it happened. The Fumble song was for me, but then I played it, and Sean was like, "Yo, you should play this. You should let me play this for Trey." So I gave it to him, and he made it happen. And you know, I started doing that. And then the next biggest song I wrote, fucking Loyal for Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. That's another one I was just writing.
Never heard of it.
I was writing my for myself and my homie Bobby Brackens. I was doing my verse in the hook. I did the first verse in the hook, and then I gave it to him to do the second verse, and then I would have did the bridge and then made a single for him, you know? But I don't know. That dickhead fucking let Chris Brown hear it somehow, and he snatched that up, and we took over the world. So shout out to Chris. Shout out to Bobby. Bobby actually helped me write this song, Saved, that we went gold on today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he put out a new tape as well recently. He's here in New York now calling me to come to the studio. So we're going to go sauce it up.
Nice.
Shout out to Bobby Braggins, man.
Did you write? You wrote on the Omarion, Jhené Aiko.
I didn't. It sounds like I did. A lot of people call me like, yo, you wrote this song? No. That was somebody trying to sound like this song.
Wow.
I'm just playing, man. Those are also my homies, though. my nigga Sam, what's up, bro? Sam Hook. I'm just fucking with you, buddy.
So we've spoken to people who have been like to writing camps, Bridget Kelly, right. BB Borelli, different people. Your experience in those writing camps was you prefer not to write.
BB Borelli, by the way.
Yo, a problem. What? A problem.
Yeah.
And she's funny as fuck, too. Yep. So, like, that's personality, yo.
And she's on Def Jam. Shouts to Karen Kwok. Yep.
So, when you...
Karen Kwok knows what's up.
Well, now she does.
Yeah.
She knows what's up. Yeah. She knew what's up then. She told me what to do. And I did it. And I'm here. So, I'm always thankful for that. So
when you go to these writing camps, was it something where, like, you knew what you wanted to write and didn't really care to, like, write with other people? Or you just weren't vibing with the particular people that were there?
I was vibing and we always made good songs, but it was just, I don't know, it just didn't work that way for me. Mm-hmm. The way they work was just doing my own shit, and it feels good.
Can you talk about the phone call that Kanye made to you to come down to Mexico? Like, what was that like?
I just got a random call from one of the other homies, and he told me to come down, and I thought it was bullshit.
Yeah, like, how did...
And then I got there, and it was for real.
But you took that flight, and you still thought it was bullshit.
I did. Like, I just didn't know if he was really going to be there, or, like, what was going to happen.
Be there?
I just didn't know, like... Like other, like I know, like other homies that go to shit like that and like be like, I wonder if they're really gonna be there, and like they don't end up really being there, or right. Like.
Had you met Kanye before?
Yeah, I met Kanye back in Sa-Ra days. They mm-hmm. took me on tour to the Touch the Sky tour in Europe, and that's when I first met that whole squad, and we were cool from then. Always a chill dude, but just happens to be a superstar.
Yeah. Did you work with any of the other guys on that tour, Lupe or...
Lupe, I worked with recently. I did this song called Next to It for him. I did the beat, and me and Shafiq from Sa-Ra Creative Partners, we did the beat together, and the hook.
Is that when you met Consequence back then?
I met Consequence, yeah, Sa-Ra days. Mm-hmm. And, because that's how we still knew of each other. But I was always a fan. It felt like I knew Consequence from just listening to Tribe Called Quest. Cause, right. Like, I was always a fan of him, so meeting him was like, damn, that's Consequence. Like, some of the other homies may not even be like up on it, but right. Like me, I was tripping out. Like, yeah. Oh, shit. And yeah, man, feels good.
Totally.
Yeah. Fucking, I just hung out with Busta Rhymes the other day. You know, that was like my favorite rapper growing up.
Yeah.
And we had dinner at Sylvia's and shit. I'm about to do a song with him. So I love working with like the people that I fucking want to work with rather than like whoever's like, hot right now, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So, shit.
I mean, like, you worked with Jagged Edge.
Yeah.
Like, that's dope.
How did you make that happen?
Because this dude named Poon. Poon Daddy was, know him?
Well, Drama told us about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Poon, for those of you that don't know, was like a DJ for the morning show on the main station in Atlanta back in the day. And his partner was Ludacris before right. Ludacris was a rapper. And
Chris Lava.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course they knew everybody from just being in Atlanta. So how I met Poon was he was managing YG after YG got the deal. He ended up somehow getting in, and I just kept in contact with him, and he hit me like, yo, you should work with the guys one day. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like okay, they're still doing shit? Okay, cool. I'm down. Like, whatever. Send me some shit.
Yeah.
And then one day I was just doing my own shit in Philly with Pop Wanzel. And I'm just playing with that song Straight Up. And at the end, I'm like, yo, this is how crazy if like fucking Jagged Edge is on it. Niggas is like, what? Like, Jagged Edge. I'm like, hold on. I got on my phone, hit fucking Poon, and he plugged me with them. And they were like, hell yeah, we'd be happy to do that shit. And they knocked it out. And yeah, man, shout out to Jagged Edge.
Yeah. And by the way, you got like
whatever
all
they
four
need,
members.
I got them back. Let's go.
Yeah.
Could have been like three. You got
that's,
all four.
That's true. Yeah, it's not like Boys to Men now, where it's like you're missing like what's his name with the cane, Michael, whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
So when you were down in Mexico, what'd you do in your off time, or was it just all work all the time?
It goes down in Mexico.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. More than just playing basketball,
right?
So okay, so you worked with you worked with Kanye down there. Who else was down there at the same time as you?
Campaign's about to drop in a couple weeks, and I think we should talk about Campaign.
Fair enough.
Campaign is going to be one of the most important projects to ever drop. I got this song on there called No Justice, which is like one of my favorite songs that I've done so far, and I would say it's the most important song that's out right now. It speaks for itself. It's called No Justice, and we've been seeing all this shit on social media, on the news that's been going on, and like there's been no convictions for these motherfuckers killing us, and like that's fucked up, you know. It's just crazy for the young people out there right now. So I'm just trying to bring awareness to that with my music. What else better could I do than that? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get other artists to step up with me and You know, we need some changing out here. We need some awakening out here. So what's up? You know, thank y'all for doing this again, and thank y'all for helping me spread the word.
Of course,
and
for sure.
The dollar sign is not only, you know, a turned up, you know, crazy motherfucker. I also care. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that do care. So let's change this shit together. And No Justice, get that right now. It's on Apple Music, iTunes. It's on this show. You heard it first, you little bitch, you. Hello. Campaign is also out, me and Future, yeah. You know, to turn it right back up after you listen to No Justice. And I got a whole bunch of other bangers. Me and Meek did a song on there. He's back. He's killing. I got Trey Songz. I got Wiz Khalifa. All the homies on there. I got YG saying a little 30-second spoken word of what he thinks about the election and everything that's going on, and I love what he said. I got the Honorable Minister Farrakhan on there giving his 2 cents. Well, actually giving his $1 million.
Okay.
I got Vic Mensa, who says something really cool. Will I Am, my homie Nate Howard, who does all the intros to all my projects.
Oh, you said a few people on here.
Yeah,
he went in here. Those are all interludes, by the way. I did most of the verses. Yeah.
Have you always been like interested in politics, or just, I mean, like now it's sort of unavoidable?
Yeah, it's definitely unavoidable now. I wouldn't say I was into politics like that, or never thought I would like go this hard with it.
Right.
But what did happen, like, which would probably like make me think that I would go here, is like I was a heavy Talib Kweli, fucking heavy Mos Def, heavy anything Ruckus Records, like, so you know they were on that shit too. And I guess it's only right, you know, once you start getting into this shit and you see all the shit that's going on in the world and you realize, damn, the people are looking at me, I have the power to like maybe change some shit or help out. So shit, I'm here. Let's
go. Another person who's been like very like straight up about how he feels, especially lately, is YG.
Yeah.
Had you guys spoken Fuck about it before?
Donald Trump.
Well, even beyond that, like saying, you know, like when these convictions don't go down, and you know, it just shows in his tweets, in his speeches, when he's performing and everything. Did you know that there was that side to him as well?
I definitely didn't know that about him. You know, we just came in on some turned up shit and like, yeah, some real life shit as well. But I didn't know he was going to get into this, and it's dope to see him, and I'm proud of him and thankful, you know, all of my brothers are with the same shit, and we're going to fight for this shit and change the world together.
Do you always play your projects for your dad before you put them out, or?
I try to. I definitely play it for everybody that's around me, and I'm always asking questions the whole time, trying to see what people think. And more so than asking questions, just looking at like body language and like seeing what makes people activate.
So you're like, you'll edit, like if you see something, like they're like, okay, like this is hitting, this might not be.
For instance, I have this song on my project right now called Stealing, and it's with my homegirl, Tish Hyman, who did Horses in a Stable on my last album. And right now it says, I'm stealing all these bitches' hearts, right? Which I am, and, you know, a lot of us young players are. And that's dope and everything. But I played it for my homegirl, Julie Greenwald, who works at Atlantic, and she really fucks me really hard, and she was like, yo, man, damn, like, last time we were horses, this time we're like 1,000 bitches, like, god damn, my nigga, like, I love you and all that, and you sound great, but like, please, like, and like, yeah, like, I understand where she's coming from, but I'm just saying, like, that's just how I talk, and like, a lot of people talk, but then again, fuck, like, I really saw she really, like, felt a type of way, so I'm just about to say stealing all these ladies' hearts, and that's just out of respect for her and my daughter, and like,
you changed the lyric for Babyface too. From
Change it for Babyface. Babyface was cool with the lyrics, and shout out to Babyface for being cool about it. I changed the lyrics for Patrice Rushen on that same song with Jagged Edge that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And Patrice Rushen was the originator of that groove, that melody. And her song was called Settle for My Love back in the day. And she allowed me to use the flip of the interpolation of it. And she said, my only thing is, you got to take out all that damn cussing. And she's like homegirls with my pops. She's also heavy religious and a professor at USC. And like, first of all, she's letting me use her, this Patrice Rushen, the God, you know? Yeah. So since she was letting me use the interpolation, it was no question. And that's cool. Some people understand it, some people don't, but I do understand, you know, shit is real out here, so I'm about to change it out of respect, and it's all good. I don't have a problem with that.
Where are you as an artist in terms of...
Also, promise, excuse me to interrupt you. There's only going to be three bitch words on the Beach House 3 when it comes out.
Oh, I thought we were going to listen to that. 1, 2, 3. Where are you in terms of being an artist right now where you want to sell some of your art, but you also give away some art in terms of...
The internet.
Yeah, the internet, and just sort of like feeding this cycle that everyone needs something new every so often.
I'm at the point now where anything else I put out is about to be for sale. You know why?
Why?
Because you could just rip this shit for free if you want. So I'm going to make you do a little bit of work. Straight up. Everything else is going to be for sale. I got to feed my family and everybody else that's working so hard with me. It's not only me, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I have a whole crew out here working with me, and we all need to eat. So
right, all that shit's coming. We're not talking the $600 tie anymore. Yeah. We're talking
$600 million tie.
Yeah, yeah.
And shit, you know, you have the option to buy it, which a lot of people don't, or you have the option to stream it, which we still get paid for, and we appreciate that, or you have the option to go rip that shit, and that's cool too, as long as you're playing it and enjoying it and doing something positive with your life.
But the one thing that they can't steal is seeing you live.
That is true.
That experience, yeah. And the first time...
But they can, because there's a lot of gatehoppers, and I see y'all too. There's a lot of people fucking themselves up, you know, ripping their clothes open, ripping their skin open. And, you know, they're still out there, and, like, I appreciate them, too. Getting kicked out for smoking weed in the concert, all that, you know? We love it all, you know? Even listening from outside and waiting until we come out of that back door just to get a picture. And, you know, some of the security guards are assholes, and they won't let me do it. But sometimes I fight them and be like, fuck that. I'm going to take a picture, and it's all good, you know? So I appreciate all the fans.
First time I saw you was in 2013, I think.
Shit.
You did a Scion show, and it was at Knitting Factory in Brooklyn.
Fuck.
And
oh,
your
and
dad played,
Fredo.
And Fredo came out. Yeah.
My pops was there. Yeah. Shit.
He was playing saxophone.
He was playing trumpet, and I had a saxophone player as well. My dad's homeboy, and shit.
What was it like to play with your dad?
It's lit every time Pops is available. I call him out, and, you know, he's one of the best musicians ever. And it's just a fun thing to just have Pops up there. I just feel like, you know, I'm just fearless. I got my Pops with me. What y'all niggas gonna do now?
And then what was it like to play in front of Fredo Santana? I'm sure it's the same emotional response.
That's right.
Shit. You got Fredo in the cut. You feel me? It's a scary sight. Shout out to Fredo, man. I just got his new project that he dropped. It's dope as fuck.
Have you...
He's like, name a time I took a bitch to the movies.
Can you talk about your relationship with any of the guys who were like original Death Row and are still around today?
Like Snoop?
Like Snoop, like Daz, like...
Yo, Snoop is a genius, man. And just knowing Snoop is dope. I will say he has the best studio I've seen in L.A. Like the best, like, whole... He has this whole little shit, like... It's dope as fuck.
Wait, can we talk about studios in LA? Have you been to Will.i.am studio?
Yes.
That's supposed to be like a spaceship.
Yeah. I'm trying to like talk him into giving me...
the keys?
Nah, this one room that the Beats radio moved out of.
Yep. Oh, they're not there anymore?
They just moved out.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to talk him into it, but then I heard his whole thing is he doesn't want any fucking weed smoking, so that's automatically not going to work.
Wait, what if you promise him no weed smoke, but...
Why would I do that?
Well, because once he gives you the keys, then he can't kick you out.
That's true, but I'm a man of my word, so I ain't gonna like just like tell him some shit.
No, it's just a surprise.
Have you been to Shangri-La, Rick Rubin's studio?
I don't think I've been to that one.
Have you been to Nightbird Studio in the basement of
Sunset Marquee?
The hotel? Yeah, that's the shit.
Yep.
Have you run into
I worked on some smashes there, actually.
Which ones?
Some shit. Yeah.
Anything on this project?
What do we work on there?
By the way, I think your phone is like beatboxing.
This is actually that Jacob Collier dude.
Oh, for real?
Some of 4 or 5 Seconds was there, I believe.
That's dope.
I did some other shit with 2 Chainz here as well.
How much stuff?
I need to work at this. I need to get a month there. That studio's dope.
It's really dope.
Yeah.
How much stuff do you have that hasn't been released yet that you're just like, oh, this might come out? Is it just like a bunch of stuff?
I don't know if I'm going to release it. Usually, I've done like a gang of songs, man. Like, I was just at Spotify and they had like 100 and some songs in their system for my shit. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. But like a year, I would say I'd probably do like 400 songs maybe. It just depends how much time I actually have to get in. Last time I was here in New York, in one night, I did 15 songs.
15 what? Songs?
15. I'm not going like to say Gucci the full levels, shit. Yeah. I'm not going to say the full shit. Maybe like the hook, the verse, the hook. And then I'll save the second verse just in case everybody's fucking when we come back to L.A.
Well, is that how you and Future connect? Because he sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, when we did Campaign, we did like a gang of songs. And he just gets on and freestyles right off the top of the head. All right, next beat. All right, next beat. All right, next beat. I'm like, God damn. That shit was hard.
By the way, I just, on Spotify, you can create playlists, and I did every single Gucci Mane song ever. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the stupidest thing I've ever done. It's like, it's impossible.
How many did he have on there?
Right now, I'm up to 1,800. 1,800, no duplicates. It's so stupid.
So, the next time that Jeff goes and, like, you know, aux cord DJs, then you can just, you know...
Yeah, if you're wondering, like, how I waste my time, it's by trying to figure out every single Gucci Mane song.
That's tight.
Have you ever revisited ideas where you're like, you know what? I had the start of a song that could have worked for somebody else, but I'm going to use it for myself instead?
Yeah. For sure. Or done a song with one artist that was super huge, and then... for some reason doesn't come out on their album, and then another super huge artist comes and is like, yo, I want it, and it happens like that too.
But it just has to be a super huge artist, like it can't be like anything beneath.
We're talking to Ty Dolla Sign.
I know. True. Yeah. The true. Dollar Sign. Yeah.
Yeah. Ty and the Dollar Signs. That'd be a good 80s band.
That would be.
Ty and the Dollar Sign.
Ty and the Dollar Sign should be you, Anderson, and John Mayer.
Right. I wonder how they would feel about that.
Yo.
They're the Dollar Signs.
That's right, yeah. Yo, bring your father on board and
John and the Mayors.
John and
Anderson
the Mayors?
Anderson and the Packs.
I'm not What's mad at any of those, called? By the way.
Anderson and the Pack?
Yeah, no, he has an actual band.
Oh.
Anderson Pack and the...
Nirvana.
Catharsis.
Yeah, Catharsis.
So, 15 songs, 14 songs in a day? That's
crazy.
Hell yeah.
That's wild.
How are you so...
Can I interrupt y'all to go use the piss cup?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
The Thanks. Piss cup? Only a weed smoker would call it a piss cup.
I know. That's really funny, though.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm
all right. All right. I did want to say, you originally met Wiz, obviously, when you guys were in different studios in the Record Plant. Where did you guys connect just personally?
After Beach House, right before Beach House 2, he hit me on Twitter, and he was like, yo, we've been listening to your shit every day. Let's work when I get back from tour. So it was probably like around this time right here, right? Mm-hmm. And he got off tour. We went in the studio and we did like 11 songs in one night. And then
Yo, doing one this song is, in a night is very disappointing at this point. Like,
yeah.
This is
it's a dozen or more.
This is After Fumble, and by the way, After Fumble, Trey Songz hooked me up with Kevin Lyles, who was managing him, and he started managing me, and then I was like, yo, what if we add Will and Wiz? Because they're, you know, in the streets and like actually going to the spots, and I'm like, we would be a super squad.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Taylor Gang or Die.
Taylor Gang or Die.
Had Juicy K-W-L. Signed at that point or no?
Juicy had already been way turned up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go over to Europe for what was the thing that Taylor Gang participated in
recently?
The Red Bull Culture Clash. Were you there for that?
Yeah, I was there.
Can you talk about how much you hate Mixpack and
pussy. No, I'm just playing. Shout out to Cranium.
Yep.
Popcorn, all of them. They killed it.
What was that experience like? Was it?
It was dope.
Everything like, you thought it would be.
Like for me, it was a regular show. We just went out there to perform and talk shit, which I do the best. And fucking, it was this other shit called Eskimo Dance, which was like the British dudes, and then it was us, the Americans, and then it was them, the Islanders. And like, we're at a sound clash. Of course, they're gonna pick the Islanders. Cool. But we were still going hard. We were still going hard, talking shit. We had the best fucking dub plates. We had fucking Fat Joe singing, you know, a special version of All the Way Up. We had fucking Genesis, OT Genesis doing a special version of Cut It. We had all the biggest songs out, plus us. Mm. So they were going crazy, but of course when Mixpack dropped that fucking Drake One dance,
yeah.
It was over.
We have to talk about Cam'ron. I heard that you're a Cam'ron fan.
Cam'ron was also my favorite rapper after Busta was my favorite rapper. And
have you met Cam yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I met him a couple of times. We haven't worked or even, not as I've been like Ty Dolla Sign like that.
Oh, you met him before that?
Nah, but like at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like Tooted and Booted times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Where was he then?
Or like, we were at some show like that we did for Taz Arnold, like a Tisa show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he had me perform first on one stage and then had fucking Cam perform. And we just like met in the back and the police shut the shit down. So damn. It was like,
Cam is the best.
Cam is the best.
Of course. What?
He's Wiz's favorite rapper. He's your favorite rapper. He's our favorite rapper.
Yeah. He also named our apartment South Harlem. Mm-hmm. So, so shouts to him.
Yeah. Huh. And every time we see him, he's always just like, how's your mother doing? And we're just like, fine.
How's your mother?
Yeah. No. He really is the best. Did you see his? Did you see him on? Yeah. Did you see him on Instagram? Freestyling the other day about Big L growing up with him and Big L's murderer and like the sort of stuff behind that.
I gotta check it out.
Some real shit. He's the best though.
Yeah, he's always been the shit.
So now with Campaign, are you gonna be touring coming up as well? Like behind it?
I might hop on another tour with a very incredible superstar. Or I might chill and record Beach House 3. Who knows?
You're being real so cagey right now.
I'll let you know.
Guessing some superstars. I'm like, Jacob Collier.
He might be some very huge superstar, you know, that you would be like, damn, this nigga Ty did it again. You know, but.
Could it be a Touch the Sky part 2?
I don't know what it might be.
Interesting.
Man.
Okay. All right.
God might bless me with, but you just know
well,
I'm in his high favor. And it just keeps on coming back to back.
Well, congratulations on everything that's happened so far and everything that's on the way. And we're so happy that you got paid $400 to perform, you know, Tooted and Booted with YG.
Which was less than I was making a DJ
that's
with
what I'm
one
saying.
Turntable.
Right. So glad you didn't go back to DJing.
Right.
Well, thanks for coming through. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of
A Waste of Time.
It's The Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us and where to get this podcast, where can they go?
You can always view our episodes on fullscreen.com/itsthereal. Go watch us there. You can also stream us at soundcloud.com/
A Waste of Time.
Also on iTunes, search for
A Waste of Time
with It's The Real. You can also find us on Instagram at It's The Real. You can find us on Twitter at It's The Real. Facebook at It's The Real. We are on Snapchat at It's The Real. And It's The Real Eric, because It's The Real was taken. You can find us in the streets. You can find us at the grocery store.
You sure can.
You cannot find us outside currently because it is a million degrees outside.
That's official?
It's official.
People should add us on Twitter and say not for real, for real, because that always makes me happy. Nah, for real, for real. N-A-H-F-R-F-R. Jeff, this podcast cannot grow if the two of us are the only people yelling about it. We should probably get our friends who listen to this podcast to tell their friends, like it's a Biggie video and Puffy was asking them, what friends do you want to tell about
this? A waste of time.
I want to tell a rapper out of, I don't know where he's from, but his name is Real E Ripe.
How do you spell that?
Well, on Instagram, it's Ripe I Trust.
Ripe I Trust.
Yeah, and he reached out. He said that it was a dream of his to get on the podcast.
Well, guess what?
I told him dream bigger.
Well, his dreams come true today. Shout out to him, and he should go tell all of his friends about
it. A waste of time.
Real.
Yes.
Jeff, I would like to tell a bunch of people, including our friend Jenna Luckman.
Yeah.
Formerly of LA. Now back in Florida. Shout out to Jenna, who listens to this podcast, enjoys this podcast, and she has so many friends, she should go tell all of them. I also want to tell Anthony Philip Raffa, who is Anthony Raffa on Twitter. He subscribed to Full Screen, SoundCloud, and iTunes, all three. He should go tell all of his friends. And finally, Boomin from Toronto. I think it's Uptop Boomin.
Uptop Boomin. I emailed him.
Did you?
Yeah, he asked me for some advice, and I emailed him back, and I never heard back from him.
Well, you know what? He reached out on Twitter, and he said that he would appreciate the shout-out, so shouts to Boomin.
Well, I would appreciate a response from the great advice that I gave him.
How about if Boomin just says, nah, for real to us?
Whatever.
Would that make it up?
That would be great.
All right. Jeff, good week this week.
Let's do it again next week.
You want to do it again next week?
Let's do it again next week. Whatever.
All right, see you then. Nah, for real, for real.
Nah, for real, for real.
A waste of time with It's The Real.
What's that?
That's this show.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like, a waste of time.
Yeah.